Welcome to Irwin First United Methodist Church, and we are glad to have you here this Labor Day weekend to worship God with us. Let us prepare for worship by offering a silent prayer to our Lord God, our Father.
If you are able, please stand for the call to worship. God said, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work.
But the 7 days is Sabbath in the Lord.
Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden.
And I will give you rest.
We come in the name of the Spirit, resting from our labors. Please remain standing for the hymn of praise, number 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness, in the red hymnal.
Thank you.
may be seated. Today's scripture reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19. It's found on page 146 of your pew hymnal, or your pew Bible in the New Testament. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all men sinned. Sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through the man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift and the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the effort of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Then as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness leads to acquittal and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so one man's obedience many will be made righteous. The word of God for the people of God. Please join in the unison prayer in your bulletin. Oh, excuse me. Well, let me see. I think we skipped a part there. I think I skipped the scripture reading. Oh, excuse me, the responsive reading, which is in your hymnal on page 766. So we'll go to the responsive reading on page 766 of the hymnal. It's Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose transgression is given, whose sin is covered. When I did not declare my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. I acknowledge my sin to you as I did not hide my inequity. Therefore, let those who are godly offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of great waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You encompass me with deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you upon my heart.
Do not be like an unruly horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle.
Many are the pangs of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous.
Shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Okay, now it's time for the unison prayer. Please join in, found in your bulletin. God of days, ancient and new, speak to us ancient words of wisdom. Help us hear afresh Christ's message of love and servanthood. Soften our hearts to sense your presence. Open our eyes to see your guiding hand. Open our ears to hear your call. Change our lives to follow your path of justice and mercy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, now on to the moments of informality. A lot of the things that you'll see in your bulletin today, I'd just like to highlight a few of those. First of all, one of the things that is shown in the This Week at Our Church on Wednesday, there's an important meeting at 7 o'clock. It's for a contemporary worship service planning meeting. We've been talking about this. There's been several meetings going on. This will be another meeting to plan how we structure worship services in the church going forward. So there's it's an important planning meeting on Wednesday at 7. It's in there, but it's sort of hidden, and it's a chance to set the direction for the church going forward. Some of the other announcements are there's an immediate need for a custodian. If you're interested, check in with the church office for all the information there. The outreach committee is planning a murder mystery. I believe that's October 5th. Is it October 5th? Diane's shaking her head, yes. We'll obviously need a lot of people to attend, but get your tickets early because tickets will be limited. But we also need some people to help out as actors. It's just it's fun to be a part of that because you're playing a role, and it's nice to just be a part of it. There's minimal lines you'll have to know. Talk to Krista. Her number is there in the bulletin. In 3 weeks, on Saturday, September 21st, so that's 3 weeks from yesterday, there's going to be safe sanctuary training at the Port View Methodist Church. So it's important if you have regular interaction with children to be a part of that training. Check your bulletin for more information on how to get in contact with the people there. Next weekend is a big day. There's going to be new members welcomed into the church. So if you're able to be here, please come and welcome all those new members that are coming into the church next week. The Good Grief Support Group, it's the first and third Wednesday of every month. If you have a need for some support, there's a number in the bulletin that you should call if you're going to be a first-time attender. It's just they can be a little better prepared for your coming if you let them know. This Wednesday, there's a day apart with the Greensburg Methodist Women. More information on that in the bulletin. That's short notice, but if you're interested in that. The reading room is up in the top floor. It's been rehabilitated and made into a very nice reading room for children. Check it out, even if you don't have children or even if you have just want to sit there and read. You don't have to be a child. It's next to the library. So it's a place to sit and be comfortable reading. So just check it out. The men's work team work on Tuesday. They've been doing that for years here in the church. It's just a great fellowship for the guys that have an opportunity to do that. So stop on down. There's a music meeting next week. It's another part of the busy schedule for next week. Diane wants to have a minute on that. In 2 weeks, the Sunday school program will start back up. It's 1 week later than usual. Usually we start after Labor Day, but because there's a women's retreat next week, it's going to start on the 15th. There's programs in your bulletin to talk about all the programs for the youth of all ages. But don't forget the adult programs, the Harvesters, the Bicota class, and the Hearts of God, Hands to Work, that meet next to the small parlor next to the pastor's office. Not only is there Sunday Bible study, not only is there Sunday school, but there's also weeknight Bible studies. Don't forget the women's Bible study, which is every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. from September through May. The women's book study group, which is Wednesdays in the evening from 7 to 8:30. So the first one is Wednesdays at 10. The second one is Wednesdays in the evening. And then there's the Disciple 3 Bible study, which it'll start this Thursday. I think that'll be Thursday evening, September through May. So not just Sunday school, but also during the week, there's a Bible study opportunities. In the bulletin, there's also an all-in men brochure, and that'll be for 3 weeks from yesterday. That's at the Holiday Park United Methodist Church. There's a pancake breakfast brochure in there. And let's see. I intentionally skipped over the youth activities and the youth events that are going on in the group because you might have noticed that Pastor David is not here, but Zach is here, so I think he is the best guy to talk about the youth programs in the church.
Week, that would be next Sunday, we are going to be kicking off the student ministry programming here at Irwin First United Methodist Church. And what we are doing to do that is we are going to have an event I am calling Parents, Pins, and Pizza. At 6 o'clock, we're going to meet at Norwin Bowl, and we're going to get all the students settled into bowling lanes, and after that is done, pizza will be brought in, and once everyone has some pizza, everyone's bowling, and all that is going well, the parents and I are going to slip away and have a meeting about the upcoming school year, and we're going to be talking about things such as, you know, why, the who, what's, and whys of ministry and how we do youth ministry here. We're going to be talking about the particular things that we would like to discuss this year, and also some just logistical stuff as well, such as permission slips and all that great stuff. And if you can make it, if you have a student in the ministry here, I greatly encourage you to be a part of that. I think it will be a big help moving forward, and I think that a student ministry works the best when parents and I work together, and I really hope that you can make that. And even if you don't have a person, a student, a child in this ministry, if you are interested in knowing what is what we do, you're more than welcome to come. I hope to see everyone that can make it there.
Thank you, Zach. Diane would now like to speak about the music meetings.
Next week's meeting will be for any person who wants to take part in Temple Chimes, Temple Bells, Sunshiners, or perhaps TAFC, where we normally rehearse on Sundays. We have to figure out when we're going to rehearse, and it's really important that we have that meeting. So this is for the students as well as for the parents, and that will be from kindergarten through 12th grade. So if any of you are interested in those programs, stick around after next week's service right up here in the front, and it'll be really short, I promise. My second announcement is for the sound team. Those of you who are sitting out there who are already on the sound team and have not gone to Josh's link yet to sign up, we have a lot of blank spaces. So I'd like you to stop by the sound desk today and put your name on some empty spots. There is a sheet there for you to fill out. And if any of you like to push buttons, if you can operate your TV at home, if you can operate your CD player, if you can operate any of those little gadgets that we all have at home, please stop and see Josh. We are in a great need of replenishing our staff of sound technicians for both services. So if you would see him after the service and put your name down or sign up for some training, that would be great. Thank you.
I think we've covered all of the moments of informality. I don't see anybody else out there raising their hand, waving at me, saying they want to talk about anything that is the workings of the church. So that concludes our workings of the church section. Now we will continue with the passing of the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
How is everybody doing? Excellent. How many people have started school and have been in school already? Do you guys? How are you guys enjoying that? Is school going well for you guys?
Me.
You like it? Excellent. I didn't like school when I was a kid. That's very good. That's good. Very good. Do you guys know what tomorrow is? Yes, it's Labor Day. Now, what is Labor Day? Does anybody know? It's okay if you don't. Well, Labor Day is a day that we celebrate all the hard work that we do throughout the year.
Now, do you guys think work is a good thing? Yeah. Yes. How about you guys? Anybody else? No, you don't like to work? I understand that. Well, work is a good thing, but... And do you think God wants us to work all the time? No? Yes, maybe? I don't know. I think it's also important that we realize that while work is a good thing... Pizza. What? No, there's no pizza up here, no. There is not. I think while it's important to work, I think we also need to realize that God also wants us to rest. I mean, you guys don't go to school every day of the week, do you? No, you have days off. And that's what Labor Day is. It's kind of a day to remind us to take a day off. That's kind of like what God said when he told us to obey the Sabbath and have one day where we rest. And that's what we should be doing on Labor Day, taking a rest, taking a time where we can just really think about what it means to worship God. Do you guys understand? Awesome. Do you guys want to collect for the children's thing?
Yeah.
Awesome. Here are some cups. You can pass cups out if you want. Action today is going for Project Happy Feet, and that is a ministry that helps provide shoes for children. As we take this time to lift up the joys and concerns of our church, I would like everyone to see those who are listed on the back for those who are hospitalized, those who are shut in, those who are in personal care homes, and those who are serving our nation overseas and in our own country. I have been passed a note to also add Alyssa to our prayer list. She is having a procedure done on her leg at Children's Hospital on September 6th. So if you guys could add her to your prayer list, that would be greatly appreciated. God of all creation, you are pure and holy. You created a perfect environment with beautiful things for your pleasure. All of this was good. Yet today we find ourselves in an imperfect world, and we confess that sin in our own lives that separates us from your will and your ways. Forgive us, Lord, for making choices contrary to your purpose, for refusing to live by your guidance, for failing to trust in your ways. Give us the power through your Holy Spirit to turn from our own willfulness and to trust in you alone to rule our life. Through Christ our Lord, amen.
No.
temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
Thank you very much, Chris. It's beautiful. Will the ushers now please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings? God of love and grace, we bring our gifts to you this morning, not for one moment believing that we can give enough to balance out all the blessings you have given us. We will leave this place to live lives that reflect your compassion and mercy, but not for one moment do we think we can live even 1 hour of our lives at our best
that will make us worthy of honor and praise as you are. As we receive this offering for the work of your church, help us to give and live humbly so that we might see your glory in every moment more clearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. She took some of the fruit and ate it, then gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Now, before I start into my message this morning, there's a few things that you need to know about myself to make this experience a little bit better. First, this is my second time ever preaching on a Sunday morning, and I'm very excited about that. The first time was at 8:15. I really enjoy preaching. It's something that I believe God has given me the ability and the talents to do, to worship Him. And I love to preach. And I'm very glad to be here this morning. Now, there are several reasons why I like to preach. Now, the first one is it's sort of an adrenaline rush. Because at any moment, I could say something so stupid that every single person in this room would look at me and say, "Why are you up there? Where is Pastor Dave this morning? I don't want to be here if he's not here." And there's always that possibility of failure, which makes it a little bit exciting.
Now, another reason why I love to preach is because when I preach, I feel connected to God. I truly hope that the words that I speak here this morning are not my own words, but rather the words God has given to me to give to you. Words of hope and warning and of encouragement. I feel connected to God when I preach. And not only while I'm up here, but in the time that it takes to study and prepare the message itself. I like to dig deep into the Bible, to look up its original Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek terms, to try to figure out why the author of this particular passage chose such and such a word. I love to do that, because when I do that, I feel connected. Now, the other thing that you need to know about me here this morning is that I'm not perfect. I know there are very, very, very many people in here who are shocked and appalled that someone who is not perfect is preaching here this morning, but it's true. I am not perfect. No one here is perfect, and that's okay, because as a church, we can gather together as broken people before Christ. But it's important that you know that I'm not perfect and that I don't pretend to be perfect, because I am going to share with you guys one of my biggest flaws. Are you ready to hear this? I am constantly and consistently losing my keys. I know it's a huge thing to share on a Sunday morning. You guys are probably, again, shocked and appalled. But it's true. I am constantly and consistently losing my keys. Now, obviously, this is not my biggest character flaw. It is not the worst thing I've ever done. But it might be the most annoying thing that plagues me. Because I would say 5 out of the 7 days of the week that I wake up to get ready to go somewhere, I start my day by looking for my keys. I never know where they are. I never know where they are. And the worst part about it is they always seem to turn up in the weirdest places. Underneath my couch, inside my couch cushions, behind my couch, behind my bed, inside my bed, behind the toilet. I found them one day. It was just ridiculous where I find my keys. Now, before I got this job, I used to work at Eden Park in Latrobe, and I was a cook there. And I was the morning cook. I got there at 6 a.m. to set up the kitchen for the rest of the day. So I get up and I get ready for work. I got my uniform on and I'm ready to go, but I cannot find my keys. I have a little bit of time. I'm running a little bit late, but I can still make it there by 6. So I start looking for my keys. I look in all the normal places, inside my couch cushions, behind my couch, underneath my bed. Look, all those places, can't find them. At one point, I decided to go outside and look in my bushes. And as I was looking for my keys in my bushes, I thought to myself, how would I have unlocked my door if I dropped my keys in my bushes? But I could not find them there either, so I still had to look for my keys. And by this time, it was 6:15, and I'm already late for work, and I have not even left my house yet. So I call up my place of employment, I talk to a manager, and they tell me, no, take your time, we want you to get here as fast as you can, but don't get in a car accident getting here or anything. Get here as fast as you can, but take your time, be careful. So with that new encouragement, I start looking for my keys again, and I start looking in ridiculous places. I looked in my sock drawer, I looked in my drawer that I keep my silverware drawer. I looked in my cupboards, I looked everywhere, and the last place that I looked, which is where I found them, I opened up my freezer, and sitting beside a pint of Ben & Jerry's ice cream were my car keys. Now, the night before, I had gotten Ben & Jerry's ice cream from Sheetz, and I ate a little bit, and then I put the rest in the freezer, because I didn't want to eat all of it at one time. So I put my keys, I must have had my keys in my hands as I was putting away my Ben & Jerry's, and I had set them in the freezer for a second and must have forgotten about it and shut the door. And thus, I had lost my keys. Now, there is a complete reason why I am telling you this story, and it does deal with what I want to talk about this morning. During this whole time while I was looking for my keys, I kept on saying to myself, where are they? I know that my keys have to be around here somewhere. I know they didn't grow legs and walk away or grow wings and fly away. I know they exist. I have held them in my hands before. I have experienced my keys. But in this moment, I have no idea where they are. And I think a lot of us, if we're going to be truly honest with ourselves, have had experiences like this with God. There are times in our lives where things aren't going exactly the way that we want them, or maybe they're not going our way at all, and we say to ourselves, I don't know where God is here. I can't find God in this moment. I know he exists. I have experienced him before, but right now, I just can't find him. And we think it's our job to go on this long and toilsome journey to find him.
I would like to reread the scripture right now, but before I do that, I would like to set up the scene for what is about to happen in Genesis 3. And to do that, I need to start at the very beginning when God created the world. And God created the world, he made it perfect. Everything was as it should be. He created the world and he filled it with plants and animals and birds and fishes. And then he looked at the world and he said, okay, let us make God, not let us make God, that is incorrect. Do not pay attention to what I just said. But rather, let us make man in our image. That's what God said. And then he did that. He made Adam and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work the fields. And then kind of imagine this with me. God steps back and he looks at everything that he's created and he said, it's perfect. Everything is as it should be, but Adam, the man that I created, is all alone. Let us make him a companion, a partner, a wife. So God put Adam in a deep sleep and he took a spare rib from him and made Eve. When Adam woke up, he saw Eve, and it was love at first sight. And I'm guessing that Adam did not have much choice in the matter, considering that they were the only two humans on earth. But I also kind of think that that God knew what he was doing when he made Adam for Eve and Eve for Adam. And they enjoyed their lives. They enjoyed their life. Whatever they needed, God provided for them. God planted wild fruits and vegetables for them to eat. God carved the riverbeds that provided them with fresh water. And God also provided them with love. God provided love for Adam in the form of Eve, and Adam for love with the form of Eve. And he also would spend time with Adam and Eve in the garden, as the scriptures say, that he would walk through the garden with them during the cool evening breezes. Everything was perfect. The world was just as it should be. It was the way God created it. There was no war or hunger or violence. There was no poverty or disease. There was no famine, no pain, no suffering. There was no need. There was no sin. Everything was as it should be, just the way God created it to be. But we all know that it did not last that way for very long. If you'd like, you could follow along with me in a pew Bible, or you could just listen to it as I read it. But I'll be starting in Genesis 3, verse 6. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." We often talk about humanity being on a search for God. It's one of those popular Christian sayings. I'm sure everyone in this room at some point or another has heard somebody say, "You need to find God." And I think a lot of us, when we read the Bible, we see a story of a group of people who are on a search for God, trying desperately to find him. But what I want to suggest here this morning is maybe we have this idea backwards. Maybe the entire picture of the Bible is not about a group of people who are searching for God, but rather about a God who is passionately and persistently pursuing us. Maybe in some way, shape, or form, the Bible is all about God who is on a search for man. That's what I see in this passage. I see two people, two very real people with two very real flaws. And they do the one thing God asks them not to do, and then immediately their world changes. Now, after Adam and Eve are deceived, they realize what they did, and they realize that they're naked, and they hear God walking through the garden, so they hide. And when God does not see them, he calls out to Adam and says, "Where are you?" Now, there is a smart person in this room somewhere thinking to themselves, "Shouldn't God know where they are?" And the simple answer to that is yes, of course God knows exactly where they are. He is God. He knows everything. This isn't the first game of hide and seek or Marco Polo or anything like that. God knows exactly where they are.
So the question becomes, why does God even ask the question? If he knows where they are, then why does God ask that question? And the reason he does, it's because it's not for his benefit. It's for Adam and Eve's benefit. He makes Adam say it out loud. He makes Adam confess, I heard you. So I hid. I was afraid and naked. And there's kind of multiple levels of nakedness going on here. There's a level of spiritual nakedness and a level of emotional nakedness. Adam and Eve have something exposed about themselves that they did not want God to find out about. Have you ever had an experience like this, where you've had something about yourself revealed that you did not want other people to find out? I have, on multiple occasions. But there was this one time in eighth grade when I had tech class with a girl named Josie, and I had the biggest crush on this girl. I was in love with her, as much as an eighth grader can be in love, and I wanted to be her partner for a particular project. And in that class, we got to pick our partners. And right before we had to pick our partners, I saw Josie from across the room, and I saw her point at me, saying, yes, let's be partners. And then I pointed back. It was a beautiful moment, because in that moment, I knew that we would be working together for that entire project. I knew that we would get to know each other, that I would get to know her better, and she would get to know me better, and maybe she would see that I'd make an awesome boyfriend. So I am sitting there as my teacher starts reading down his roster, asking the people who they are going to work with. And he got to my name, and I exclaimed, Josie. And the room fell silent for a second. And then all I heard was Josie scream, no! It wasn't just yelling. It was more like a whiny, like, my life has just ended, no. And I was completely mortified in that moment. See, what happened was Josie wasn't pointing at me. She was pointing to the girl next to me. And in that moment, every single person in that room knew my secret. I wanted to crawl underneath my desk. I am not a person who is easily embarrassed. But in that moment, I never wanted to go to school again. I never wanted to see anybody in my class again. I was ready to join the army, lie about everything, and just move away so I wouldn't have to face that embarrassment of knowing that everyone knew my secret. And that's sort of what's going on here with Adam and Eve. They know that they messed up. They know what they did was wrong. And they did not want to let God down. I remember when I first became a Christian, I felt so guilty over my sin. Not that I view my sin as no big deal anymore. It's still a problem in my life. But when I first became a Christian, it was different. When I would pray, I felt like God wouldn't listen to me because I wasn't good enough, because I had the sin in my life. When I went to church or youth group, I felt like I didn't belong there because I had sin in my life. And I would always think to myself, when I get over this sin, when I conquer this particular sin, I'll get back right with God. I'll find him again. And the problem was, I never wanted to own up and confess my sin because I did not want to let God down. And that's another popular Christian phrase that I don't like, disappointing God. Because the truth of the matter is, you cannot disappoint God, and here's why. Your relationship with him has nothing to do with your performance. It has nothing to do with you at all, but it has everything to do with what Christ did for you on the cross. Tonight, if you feel like you are wondering where God is, if you don't know exactly where he is in your life right now, I would like to make a suggestion to you. Maybe you're hiding. Maybe you're hiding just like Adam and Eve. If there is something in your life that is keeping you from having a relationship with God, ask him to help you with it. Because if we could save ourselves, then we wouldn't need grace. And if we didn't need grace, we wouldn't need Jesus. And I'm here standing before you this morning to tell you that I need Jesus. Because I am flawed. I'm easy to anger. I am envious. I am lustful. I am prideful. I compare myself to others when I should compare myself to Christ. And that is just scratching the surface of the human being that I am. But yet my Lord and Savior loves me anyway. And he feels the same way about you. God is searching for you. If you feel like you don't deserve his love, you're kind of correct, because there's nothing you can do to earn his love. But when God looks at you, if he is your personal Lord and Savior, then God doesn't see your sin, but rather he sees his son dying on the cross for your sin. God loves you so much that it has nothing to do with what you have done. He loves you because he made you, because he knows you, because God is love and he knows nothing else. God is passionately and persistently pursuing you and every single human being that walks this earth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning and this ability to be here. I ask if there's anybody here who feels like they're ashamed of their sin, that you can take that away from them. Because your grace is abundant and sufficient for all of us here. There are no special circumstances. You just love us. Father, I ask you to bless the rest of our time here this morning as we worship you. In your name we pray, amen. Let's sing the hymn of parting, number 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.